So, you've just finished A Court of Thorn and Roses, and you're craving another fantasy world to devour. Dipsy's got your back. Dive into spicy enemies-to-lovers tales, or embark on an epic romance between immortal fae and sworn foes. They've got fantasy romance stories perfect for your morning walk, late night, or long bath.
Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, spicy audio stories. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. Discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups. I gotta tell you that the immersive soundscapes are really what makes a good sexy story different from a not good sexy story, because it just like adds, like, it's hard sometimes in like reading a novel to like get the actual feel of what's going on. But when it's like, oh, we're like at the coffee shop and this is like actually happening, it's like very different.
And there's a growing library of fantasy series with werewolves, Greek gods and goddesses, Regency era historical fiction for you, Sam, and fairy smut to explore the bounds of your pleasure. New content is released every week, so in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you can always find something new to explore.
Dipsy offers a modern approach to romance through high quality and captivating audio fiction. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup.
That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup. dipsystories.com/justbreakup.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Just Break Up, the podcast about love, heartbreak, and all the relationship advice you don't want to hear. My name is Sierra DeMulder.
And I'm Sam Blackwell. And today we're going to answer a letter from somebody who got dumped for suggesting a change in plans. But before we begin, we just want to give you our Surgeon General's warning, which is that Sierra and I are not licensed mental health practitioners.
No, we are not professionals. We are not trained in any of this. So please take our advice as you see fit, as a supplement to your other mental health professional resources and or, you know, good life things, like your friend's advice, family, you know.
Yeah, like we don't have any context for your life, people. We don't know you.
We have your 350 character letter.
Absolutely. That's all we're going with.
Yeah. And our plethora of terrible lived experiences.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, so please take our advice as you see fit. We are only here to offer our humble musings to hopefully shed some understanding and maybe some laughs on the incredibly rewarding but mostly confusing experience that is love.
All right. Today's check-in topic, it's Monday, so we're doing a check-in topic, comes from a letter writer, EC, whose pronouns are she, her, who's writing from the Midwest. And I'm just going to read it because it's short. Hey, S times three. I have a potential check-in topic I'd love to hear your humble musings on. In a recent episode, Should I Forgive a Cheater? Sierra mentioned that we live in a very forgiveness-forward culture. When you said this, it made me think about how much I, a non-Christian who grew up in a very Christian-dominant community, see forgiveness being framed as a virtue, almost a responsibility of somebody who has been wronged or victimized. I'm curious to hear more elaboration on this topic, if you're willing to share.
What a lovely check-in topic, and might I add, it's always nice when I hear myself quoted, and I have absolutely no memory of saying whatever I said. I don't even have a memory of holding that belief in my body. Sam and I have gotten to the point where we record, and we just black out, and then, you know, my friend texted me and was like, oh, I'm listening to this Monday's episode, and I was like, and it would be about
can you just read the letter to me again?
Summarize it. Yeah.
It's true. Anyway, Gemini energy to just like, just start talking and have no memory of anything that we've said.
We read a lot of letters, to be fair. Anyway, I appreciate the question. I think Sam and I are going to just again, take the idea of forgiveness and muse on that idea. Starting where you suggested this idea that we live in a very forgiveness forward culture. And before I say anything about that, I will say, I think it's important when we talk about forgiveness, two things, that we don't moralize it. I think it was a really great musing from our letter writer that, like, we forgiveness has been touted or, transformed into one of our moral virtues, and if you forgive, you're a good person, you're a holier than person, a good person. I don't know how else to say that. And if you don't forgive, you are wounded, damaged, angry, resentful. All of a sudden you get this societal image of somebody who's not letting go of their grudges and not letting go of their wounds and whatever. And I think here at JBU, we can do ourselves all a huge service by reminding ourselves that we are way too complex than that. And forgiveness is not a moral choice, right? Forgiveness is not about being a good person or a bad person. It is morally neutral. And I like to think about forgiveness as something incredibly personal. For me personally, forgiveness, my journey of forgiveness has been about healing for enough time to which I can access empathy for the person who hurt me and use that empathy to be like, oh, I kind of understand why they did that. And I no longer need to wrestle with the why. I can forget them that much more. Like, forgiveness to me, honestly, has been like a letting go of. And that has been really beneficial to me. But the long-winded point I'm trying to make is that, like, another thing we should remember about forgiveness is that it's not a universally commonly used thing, like, meaning how I use forgiveness or how I access forgiveness, or even if I forgive someone at all, is personal to me and my lived experiences, and not can't be transferred perfectly to you. Like, you, Sam, have a different relationship to forgiveness mm-hmm. than I do.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, like, for me, similarly, forgiveness, I think that is, like, true forgiveness is centers the victim, right? So centers, like, what the person who has been harmed needs and wants in order to, like, move forward with their own life. And that can look like forgiveness in, like, yes, we come together and I forgive you and we, like, hug and, like, we figure it out together. Or it could look like, oh.
I have never hugged someone I forgave.
The
kind
of
forgiveness I'm talking, I have, but I'm saying, like, the kind of forgiveness I was describing, I've never spoken to those people ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Or forgiveness can look like exactly that, right? Where it's like, I forgive you from a distance, right? I don't need to reconcile with you, but I have forgiveness in my soul for as a way to help me, like, understand and process through what happened to me, right? Like,
yeah.
It can be a helpful tool in that way. But I do think that, like, sometimes forgiveness gets used as a way to expect people who have been harmed to move on more quickly than they might want to. And as a way to, like, skirt accountability for the people who have caused the harm, right? I think this is, like, especially true. I am also somebody who grew up in, like, a very Christian space. And I think that this is, like, especially true in Christian spaces that I've experienced. And it may be true of other places. But it's like, oh, no, we're not going to hold that person accountable because Jesus told us to forgive people, right? To turn the other cheek, right? Which is, like, I don't think that's what he meant. Like, I think we're missing some important things here.
There's a lot of, like, community support in that we're, like, kind of skirting around, that we're cutting funding for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think forgiveness and calls for or expectations of accountability can go hand in hand, right? Like, I can say, I forgive you, but also you need to do something to rectify the harm that you've caused, right? Like, that, those two things can exist. And I think sometimes the idea that we would hold people accountable, especially powerful people, feels like a threat. And so then we are like, oh, well, you should just be forgiving them, right? Like, why are you still holding on to the fact that that person assaulted you, right? Like, why can't you just let it go or whatever it might be, right? And then suddenly we're in this place where we're using forgiveness as a weapon against people who have been harmed and saying, like, you should forgive, but it's because we don't want to hold people accountable in ways that might make us uncomfortable. So I think that we are very forgiveness forward in that we're like, we don't do a lot to support people in healing. Like, and so we just expect them to be done healing and that it should look really pretty and that nobody should be uncomfortable with the fact that somebody was harmed in some meaningful way.
Yes, I totally agree. And I have no memory of the conversation, but I do believe that that was what I was hinting at, because even in my own journey, and, you know, many of you know that I have a writing career outside of the podcast, and in my, let's see, fourth poetry book that I published, it's called We Slept Here, and it's all about an abusive relationship that I went through in my early 20s, and about forgiveness and how I felt really pressured and confused, even from myself, to forgive my ex for our relationship and for what he put me through, because I thought it would make me feel better. Number one, I thought forgiveness would make me feel better. So I was like, oh, I guess I got to do this. Like, I guess I have to be this enlightened person.
Sure.
And number two, the not forgiving him, not, you know, at least for my definition of forgiveness or my application of it, not humanizing him or seeing that this was the best he could do in sort of like a pathetic way, made me feel stronger. Like, made me feel like, oh, well, I could access my anger better when I was like not forgiving him, you know?
For sure.
I really struggled with that. And I truly do believe it's from our societal conversations about forgiveness and how forgiveness seems to be a quote enlightened moral or virtuous thing to do.
Right.
Yeah,
I think that's true. And I think, like, you can move on and you can humanize somebody without forgiving them. You know what I mean? Like, I can, like, look at my ex and be like, yep, makes sense that you did all those things. Like, you're obviously a human. And also, like, I don't forgive you for the shit that you did to me. Right. Like, I don't want to give him a pass for the harm. And, like, we've never done anything to, like, rectify, right? Like, there's been no reconciliation. There's been no atonement. There's been no, like, making amends. And so, like, I'm not gonna forgive because, like, there's the harm has not been seen to by him. So why would I forgive him?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's really interesting, because I totally relate to that experience. And maybe it's, again, my own personal interpretation of forgiveness. Another thing that used to confuse me is the idea that forgiveness had to be received by the wrongdoer. And, like, I had to say it to their face in order for it to be real. And that it had to be this, like, crossing of a threshold. Like, okay, now I forgive you and I'm going to feel better now, or the wrongs are righted, or whatever it is. But honestly, as I get older, I realize, like, the opportunities for those conversations, or, like, the desire to actually face those people in my life becomes smaller and smaller, because of healthy reasons of my life is going on. My world is expanding beyond the time that we were entangled. And I could say that I feel no internal conflict over that relationship anymore. And it's just funny. I think we put a lot of importance to the words like forgiveness, like, oh, because even right now I'm struggling to be like, do I forgive him? Like,
I don't.
Yeah.
As your friend, I don't.
I think I forgive him. Well, I'm talking about my way back ex.
Yeah.
Not the most recent one. Okay. Yeah. I think I forgive him. I think I forgive him. But even saying that out loud, it's like, I think we've been conditioned to think it's like this big virtuous threshold that we pass through. And I don't think it is. I think maybe forgiveness is a practice of forgetting and letting go and thriving elsewhere. But that personal definition from me has nothing to do with the perpetrator, right? It has nothing to do with the wrongdoer. Whereas you're saying, I'm thriving, I'm forgetting, I'm moving on with my life, but the wrongdoer has never made any amends, so why the fuck would I forgive him?
Yeah, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, no, and that makes a lot of sense. I guess, like, for me, like, forgiveness becomes less important the more I, like, live my life outside of people. Whereas, like, I think when we talk about forgiveness again, it just feels like this big thing that you have to access in order to be, like, a healed and, I don't know, righteous person.
For sure. No, absolutely. I think that's the narrative. Like, I think people would be like, oh, then you haven't moved on. And it's like, no, I'm here. I'm living over
You're
here,
like,
by myself.
I
don't think about this person. But if I saw them, yes. I wouldn't be like, hi, how are you? I'd be like, oh, that fucker. And, like, do something else.
I legit thought I saw one of my exes here in my town, and they don't live in this state. And my body reacted, and I was like with my mother-in-law and my wife, and I was like, please don't, I hope they didn't see me like glitch. And then it wasn't that person. Thank God. I think I would actually run from that person now that I'm thinking about it. Other people, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Like, why are you here?
Yeah.
Get anyway. This is my town. Get out of it.
Yeah. Okay. So those were just some Monday morning heavy musings about forgiveness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's no, like, right or wrong. There's no, like, pretty conclusion that we can come to.
I don't think so.
Other than, like, would you or would you not run from your ex if you saw that?
I don't think I would. I think I would make him run from me, if that makes sense.
Oh, like me? You would just straight up ignore him?
Yeah, I would just, like, mean mug him and then, like...
Yeah.
Turn around and pretend like he's not there.
Yeah, totally. I get it.
That's absolutely not true, y'all. Like, I come across a certain way on this podcast, and I would be so nice to that person.
Like, oh my God, I would be like, hello, how are you? You go out of your way and be so friendly.
I would go like across the room, and I would find him and be like, hey, this is weird, but hey, how are you? Right? Like, that is my actual vibe in life.
I would cry. No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's get into our letter today. It is from Seth Wallowing, whose pronouns are he, him, who is writing to us from Peach State, USA. My ex, Josh, broke up with me a few weeks ago, and since then, we have had no contact. We dated for a year. He is a 30-year-old bisexual man who is a doctor. He has never dated due to his job. He has only one friend that he hangs out with and is entirely attached to his mother, yet is not out to his family. Before me, he did not have a social life and spent his weekends alone. Our kiss and date were his first, so everything in our relationship was new to him. I'm a successful 34-year-old gay man with a large social circle who I've introduced him to. Though I have dated many times before, I've never completely gotten over my first love more than 12 years ago. When I met Josh, that spark was instantly there through the novelty in his eyes. I think the world of him and felt like we were equals. Our relationship was still in the honeymoon period, and we exchanged I love yous daily. We never argued until I took him to London for a vacation that would ultimately end our relationship. We were meeting up with my London friends for lunch, but that meant we would be late to the museum. He was unusually upset about this. I told him firmly that if it really meant so much to him, that he should go alone and we would meet him there afterwards. He instantly stonewalled me for the rest of the day, and by night I could not stand it anymore and told him we had to communicate because we still had the rest of the week and several Michelin-starred dinners to swallow. He told me that he did not appreciate me ordering him around like that, and I realized I had hurt his pride and brought to light trauma from his father's treatment to his mother. I apologized to him and told him I just wanted to offer a solution that would make everybody happy. But in that moment, I knew I had crossed his boundary and that the relationship was over. The rest of the week, he did not care to touch me anymore. We met up the next weekend after we got back to the U.S. He said he still loved me, but that we were incompatible because I wouldn't move closer to his town, that we didn't like the same music or video games, and that when he tried to engage with me, that I was unresponsive. This all stunned me because I love him deeply and felt like these were all excuses for his bruised ego. I suspected that after the argument in London, he views me as an intellectual adversary and a threat to his identity instead of a romantic partner. I asked him if we could work it out, but he does not want to. I felt what happened between us was blown way out of proportion for such an insignificant disagreement. But I also feel like this happened because he has no other experiences in love. Deep down, there is unfinished business between us, and once his anger subsides, he might gain some perspective on what he gave up so easily. I want him back, even though I know it would be best if he dates other people. If he does come back, I realize that I would have to be subservient to him and put him on a pedestal for him to feel love, basically mirroring the affection he gets from his mother and the prestige he feels from his profession. Would compromising myself be true love, though? I feel wounded and discarded. It is as if I am losing my first love all over again. Can I have your perspective on letting him go?
All right, Seth, thank you so much for writing to us. And I'm sorry that you're going through this breakup. It sucks to be broken up with. It sucks to be broken up with in a country that you don't live in and then have to like spend time with that person finishing your vacation.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
We need to do a check-in topic someday on vacation stress because I know of so many couples who fight on vacation because it's like it's supposed to be like this big, fun, easygoing time, but the travel, the time difference, the different desires in itinerary, the heightened expectations because you're looking forward to it. It's a scary world out there, y'all.
Absolutely. Airports bring out the worst in people. So like it is really, I have snapped at Peter maybe like 10 times in our relationship and at least two of them have been in an airport.
Come on, at least three. At least three. That's cute.
Yeah. Yes. So vacations are stressful. Absolutely. And, you know, this, I totally understand that you feel like you're kind of like locked out and that you're having trouble believing that the reasons that he's giving you for the breakup are real. And it feels really connected to this particular moment and that it's saying something about him and about you that either he doesn't believe or is not expressing to you like that. That all sounds really frustrating, right? In only the way that breakups can be frustrating because we want answers, we want connection. And also we know that connection is not good for us in this moment because that's the thing that's causing us harm. And all of this is so tricky to navigate. So I'm sorry that this is so fresh for you. I'm sorry that this is making you feel discarded. You know, like that is never a good way to be feeling. So Sierra and I want to love and affirm that this is a really hard time for you and that this situation seems really confusing because I think it is confusing. And we're going to offer you some love and advice. But before we do that, we are going to take a quick break.
Y'all, as a self-employed person, as a mom of a toddler, I am always struggling with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money and it does all of that for me.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, you have full control over your subscriptions and a clear view of your expenses. You can see all your subscriptions in one place. And if you see something you don't want, Rocket Money can help cancel it with a few taps.
I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month. So I can clearly see my spending habits and check myself if needed. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money will even help try to negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you, which I obviously love as a somewhat introverted conflict avoidant person.
Absolutely. Rocket Money has over 5 million subscribers and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/justbreakup.
That's rocketmoney.com/justbreakup. rocketmoney.com/justbreakup. The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets, sweaters, and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, and luckily I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year.
Quince has things like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. And the best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. This past month, I treated myself to a pair of new slippers because I'm in that hashtag mom life era of my life, in which I am never not in slippers. And these are 100% Australian shearling lined clog slippers. And I love that they're slip on, but they have those durable rubber outsoles. They're super cushy, super comfortable, but I feel like I can run outside to like take the trash out in them while also like staying warm and active in the house.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/justbreakup for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/justbreakup to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/justbreakup.
All right, my darlings, welcome back. And to my number one darling today, our letter writer. I'm sorry you went through this. I totally relate to the idea of the wound, like of your first love being reopened because you really saw the story changing in this relationship. You know, you saw this love replacing that love and being left in this way feels really confusing too, even to Sam and I, like as we read the details, like we know there's more to your relationship than this letter, but you know, if it feels abrupt to you, I know it was in one way or another. I think I want to focus, Sam and I want to give you some ideas to mull over about things to bring into future relationships or to this relationship if for some reason you decide to get back together or whatever. But first, I just want to focus on the most important thing, which is giving you perspective on how to let this person go as outsiders, as your peers and your friends. We first just want to say, like, this hurts and we know it hurts and we know this pain is real. And in the same moment, do you want to be with somebody who feels so adversarial to you, who would stonewall you for an entire day because your plans got a little crunchy? Because, you know, I don't know, museums are open for hours on end, you know, and that they, I don't know the details of this, but like, we all snap, like Sam said, at airports or at stressful moments or when our desires are incompatible with our partners. We all do that. And to me, a testament to a healthy relationship is being able to go through those crunchy periods and come back together stronger because you can see, you can empathize with the other person's desires. You can communicate safely and clearly why it went down the way it did, and you can better understand each other. And it sounds like not only was that not possible because he didn't want to connect with you in the hotel afterwards, but that he like was pissed at you all day and couldn't just let it go to have a good day. I don't know. As your friends, right, at the brunch table, we want to say, do you want to be with somebody who ends a relationship over something like this in such a volatile and swift way. Not to dehumanize your ex, like we don't know anything about them. We didn't get a letter from them, so we're not at the brunch table with them. If they wrote to us, we would pull up a chair, right? But my goal right now is to give you those little bit of perspective shifts that help that heart feel a little less like jagged and a little less wounded. Did it hurt that he ended a relationship over something that seems so abrupt and, you know, inconsequential to you? Yes. Do you want to be with someone who would leave you over something that felt so abrupt and inconsequential? No. Those two things feel at odds, and that's where a lot of the pain is coming from right now.
For sure. Absolutely. I mean, you even say in your letter that, you know, you think that if you get back together with him, you're going to have to basically mirror the affection that he gets from his mother and the prestige that he feels from his job and put him on a pedestal and be subservient to him. Right. And if that is true for you, then what is it about this relationship that you want to get back with? Right. Like, you know, if I were in a relationship where it was like clear to me that that was the way that I was going to have to be, it would be really hard to say like, yes, I can want to continue to be with this person. Right. The way that you talk about him doesn't make him seem like he's a good person, and also that you think that he's a good person. You know, like that sort of language about like what is going on with him is telling, I think, right? About like how you are experiencing this breakup and how you're experiencing this person. I know that there's a lot that is like left unsaid here, right? And I think that you're doing a lot of interpreting also of like what is going on here. And it might be really true to him that actually the reasons why you broke up are because you didn't want to move to his town and you don't have the same interests, right? Like that might actually be the reason why he's doing it. And I know that you think that there's like more under the surface there, or that you like want to get to the bottom of this. And I also want to like just name that there might not be more bottom there, right? Like there might not be a thing to actually get at besides this. And we can run ourselves ragged telling ourselves story after story after story about what is supposedly true for the other person. And the truth is that we're never going to know that. Right? We're never going to be able to get to the bottom of what someone else's experience was. And I think that like this happens so often in breakups where we're like, I know what the truth is and I need them to say that truth back to me, right? I need him to tell me that he broke up with me because I challenged him intellectually for the first time, right? I need him to tell me that he broke up with me because I'm not subservient to him and that frustrates him. And I don't know this man. First of all, that might not be true, right? Like that might not actually be true for him. And two, I don't know if he has the capacity to be able to name that explicitly. And so I get this urge to want to like go to the person to corroborate the story we're telling ourselves. And sometimes we actually just need to accept that we aren't going to know the end of the bottom of the story. We're not going to get to the mystery. And what we actually have to do is sit in the pain of not knowing, right? We have to sit in the pain of being dumped. We have to, and not look for like off ramps that are going to make this pain less intense, right? We just need to like feel it and be in it and be like, it fucking sucks that this man doesn't want to be with me and I want to be with him, right? It fucking sucks that he broke up with me in this like really shitty way in this place that neither of us live. So we had to like go to all these restaurants and like pretend like everything was fine, right? Like I want you to like sit in the terribleness of this, not because I like want you to feel bad, right? But I want you to sort of recognize the truth of this, which is that like the actual truth here is not like why he did it or his psychoanalysis of what he's doing or any interpretation of all of his different actions. Like the truth of what's happening here is that this just sucks and it's really painful and there's no way to like go around the pain. You just have to be in it and get through it in order to figure out how you want to move forward.
I think that's perfect. And the one thing I'll add to that, to take into future relationships, and again, this is me, I'm doing exactly what I'm going to point out in the letter, which is I'm doing a lot of assumptions because, again, we've got your, I don't know, 500 character letter or whatever. It sounds like your ex is not the person you're capable of being with without doing a lot of assumption, meaning I don't know how emotionally communicative and available he was to tell you why he got so triggered by that conflict, right? Because that's the other thing is like in conflict, when you are with somebody long enough or when you're doing this type of emotional self-work long enough, you really realize that rarely is the conflict about the actual material conflict or the superficial happenings. It's about, I felt threatened, or this reminded me of my dad, or all of these things, right? I think Sam used the word interpretation, and I just want to point this out because this will be a helpful thing to bring into future relationships. You want to be with somebody in which you don't have to do all that interpreting. I used to do that a lot, and I think it was totally well-meaning because I felt like I had emotional intelligence. I felt like I had intuition. I was like, I'm an empath over here. and I would often like superimpose narratives onto my loved ones' experiences because I was assuming what they were going through. And I thought me doing that, I thought it was like an act of love, right? It was an act of me, I don't know, knowing them really well or helping them understand themselves. But as I matured, I realized that I was really just interpreting things from my lens and I was assuming a lot. And I'm pointing this out because you tell us a lot about your ex. And you knew him for a year, so you obviously have intimacy with him, intimate knowledge. And if he didn't say at this conflict, you triggered me and reminded me of my dad, then we have to stay curious. We can't just superimpose that onto him. Again, I don't know how in-depth that conversation went, so I could be totally wrong here, but there's other points in this letter that you're interpreting his response. And I know that you're doing it as a means to make sense of the world, because I used to do it. You know, I used to be like, oh, well, they're doing this because this, you know, I still do it. I still do it on this fucking podcast. That's all I do interpret people's letters, right? In our intimate partnerships, though, that can lead us astray sometimes because we're so busy. We cling to the narratives that we interpret from our partner's actions instead of actually listening openly and curiously to what they're communicating. Now, this fails when you're not with somebody who opens. Now, this idea fails if you're with somebody who doesn't communicate, right? Straight up, this isn't going to work if your partner's not telling you why this conflict was so triggering to him. But I wanted to point that out and just offer it as something that you want to look for and bring into your next relationships. Because Sam and I know you might want to know the why of how this relationship fell apart, you know, because it feels so deeply personal. But we know that you deserve somebody that doesn't require so much emotional labor, doesn't require so much work and navigation to feel safe and a strong communication foundation, and doesn't require you to put them on a pedestal. So I hope this helps in shifting your perspective on letting this relationship go while also acknowledging that we know it hurts. It hurts regardless of how much we understand it. It still hurts.
Mm, absolutely. Like we said at the beginning, we're sorry that you're going through this. You know, all of the things that you're feeling are really understandable and justified. And, you know, we want to sit with you in the discomfort of how uncomfortable and hard and challenging and painful this is, right? And we want to spend time thinking about how you're experiencing this breakup, what your experiences in this relationship were, and spend, I think, a little bit less time trying to psychoanalyze or try and figure out why this person broke up with you. because you are worthy of love and time and attention in this particularly hard moment of your life. So thank you for writing to us and asking us this question. We love you.
We love you so much. We hope it helps.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like more content from us, or if you would like to, or if you would like access to our monthly office hours, you can support us on Patreon. If you support us on Patreon for as little as $5 a month, you'll get an additional bonus weekly episode, as well as access to those office hours where Sierra and I hop on Zoom with anyone who wants to join us and shoot the shit and answer questions. That's patreon.com/justbreakuppod.
You can slide into our DMs, send us your favorite relationship memes, but most importantly, you can submit your questions about all matters of the heart at justbreakuppod.com, which is also where you can find our merchandise.
Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating and review. This literally keeps our mics on and helps us reach more brokenhearted souls who need two random strangers giving them relationship advice.
Just Break Up is a production of Duveed Media, original music, recording, editing, producing, all magical things by our good friend Spencer Worth Davis. Make sure to check out his podcasts and his music. And remember, we often seek for clarity instead of sitting and tending to the emotions that we already have. Breakups trigger this in us so strongly. We want to understand, we want to fix, we want to rectify, even if it means fixing something we don't actually want, fixing something that's better off broken. Sit in your feelings, take care of yourself, and take comfort in knowing that not everything makes sense sometimes. And if all else fails,
just break up.